inspired by God, inspired of God. You know, this term in the Greek and even in the Hebrew, I'll run both of them together, they're the same, is breathed in, divinely breathed in. That's God speaking to man, that is to say, any person he chooses to lead, and all scripture is divinely given. It means intellect, and when God inspires one, you want to be very careful because some people claim to be inspired. We're going to play a little exercise in the Word today. Open your Bibles, if you would, in the New Testament, the only place the Word is used. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. That word of wisdom from our Father, let's get with it. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 reads, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." I mean, you better take a look around, all right? "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy." And thank God for people that do follow the Word of God. Because when you look outside of that, you see a very confused world. "Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontent, furious, despisers of those that do good, and traitors, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. 5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. You know, how do I know then? Well, you study God's Word. You do it chapter by chapter and verse by verse. We don't care what some man's family did here and some man's family did there necessarily. Topical teaching is okay. But we want to know what our Father has to say and what is inspired by Him. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women." There's no gender here, actually, for all are the bride of Christ. "Laden with sins, led away with divers lusts." Holy, 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 holier than thou. Be careful of that. "Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." And this is something you want to analyze. You want to pray about it to your Father. You want to get into the Word. And it's okay to listen to man, but you document him in this Word of God. Let's skip on to verse 13. "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." And that's what you're in today, my friends. "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." That's of the Lord Jesus Christ and of our Heavenly Father. "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." Where do you gain wisdom? From the scriptures of Almighty God. Not from some man's writings, not from some big name, but from the Word of God. And most of you have known since you were a child there was more to God's Word than you've been taught. And you search for it, you seek it, you hunt it out. Verse 16, "All scripture." Now, how much was that? "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof." That's what you use to analyze something, to prove it or disprove it. "For correction of yourself as well as anyone else. For instruction in righteousness." Righteousness is to do what's right. And when you do what's right, God is going to find you as a faithful servant. Verse 17, "that the man of God may be perfect." That means mature, fresh. None of us ever quite make it to perfection, but you keep trying. "Thoroughly furnished unto all good works." And so it is. This is the way it is from God's Word. It builds you, and you can grow. That is inspired of God, you can rest assured of. As an example, let's go way back in the Old Testament. Let's take Numbers chapter 24. Numbers chapter 24. Balaam is being tested here. The enemy is trying to get him to, because he is a prophet of God, to make a good prophecy for, actually would be the enemy of Israel. And with that, we have the following. Chapter 25, the great book of Numbers, verse 1. And when Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel, not the enemy, he went not. And he didn't go to Balak to help him, as at other times, to seek for enchantments, but he set his face toward the wilderness. Verse 2, and Balaam lifted up his eyes, and he saw Israel abiding in his tents according to their tribes, and the Spirit of God came upon him. This is inspiration. Verse 3, and he took up his parable and said, Balaam, the son of Beor, hath said, and the man whose eyes are open hath said, and he, verse 4, he hath said, which heard the words of God, which saw the vision of the Almighty falling into a trance, but having his eyes open. In other words, he is being inspired by the living God. This you can count on. You don't have to wonder. You don't have to play guessing games. You don't have to look any further. You're about to hear from God. How goodly are the tents of Jacob and thy tabernacles, O Israel. God's blessing his children. That's both the house of Judah and the house of Israel. As the valleys are, they spread forth all and as gardens by the riverside, as the trees of lean aloes, which the Lord hath planted. Who did it? The Lord did. And as cedars beside the waters. What, they always grow stronger there. He shall pour the water out of his buckets, and his seed shall be in many waters, and his king shall be higher than Agag, and his kingdom shall be exalted. He's going to always win. God brought him forth out of Egypt. He hath, as it were, the strength of a unicorn. That word in the Hebrew is wild ox. He shall eat up the nations, his enemies, and shall break their bones and pierce them through with his arrows. This is God's word, and yet people will not sleep well at night for fear. Isn't that amazing? When this is inspired of God to protect his children, and yet his children will shake and weep. It's all right to weep for the sadness of our people, but know God, when you're faithful to him, leads, directs, and understands. Again, this is inspired of God. It's not man. He couched, he lay down as a lion and as a great lion who shall stir him up. Blessed is he that blesseth thee, and cursed is he that curseth thee. And so it is. God looks out for his own. As long as you love him, as long as you hold to him, you drift away from that, bye-bye. Well, are you saying you can lose your salvation? No, your salvation is there, you lose yourself. You know, man's so bright. Without the inspiration of God, that's intelligence, intellect. You're in a heap of hurt. And so it is. But there you have an example of how God does inspire and gives a message that you can count on. It will always hold true to its being. Now, let's go to one of the other books here of the... let's take the book of Job. You know, Job, as you remember, don't turn to along to about chapter 32, but let me fill you in as we go there if you're not familiar. In chapter 1, God said to Job, or to Satan, "What do you think about my boy Job? He's perfect in all that he does in loving me and so forth." Do you know what Satan said? He said, "Hey, you're protecting him." Now, not too many people realize it, and Job is a hard book to teach if you're not familiar with the first earth age, okay? Because that's what it applies to, with Job being probation. In other words, God could count on him. He knew that he had stood before, and we'll document that before we finish here. But Satan said, "Well, it's no wonder that he's so good. You keep him so well protected. You remove that wall, and I'll have him cursing you before long." God said, "I'll tell you what. I'll remove the wall. And you can have everything but his life. That you can't have." And I mean, just in a short time, he took everything Job had. Satan did, not God. And I mean, he was sore from head to toe. And his wife, even his own wife, said, "Why don't you just curl up, curse God, and die?" You know, Job would never do it. And then here comes three friends. I mean, let's face it, any time someone is so wealthy and has everything going for them, and God punishes them by taking away everything they have, there's got to be something wrong with that man or that woman. Just got to be. So three friends come along, and they work with him and work with him up to 32 chapters of ratchet jawing, yattity, yattity, yattity. You know, "What have you done, Job? Be honest. Let's bring it out in the open." Job said, "I haven't done anything. I'm innocent." Okay. Well, they keep yakety yak. Finally, they quit. And you got a young dude over here in the corner that's been listening to all this. And we're going to pick it up in chapter 32 with that young dude. And here he goes, chapter 32, verse 1, the great book of Job. "So these three men ceased to answer Job, trying to talk to him, because he was righteous in his own eyes." He was self-righteous as far as they were concerned. Said he hadn't done anything wrong, and he had lost everything he had. Now, verse 2. "Then was kindled the wrath of Elihu, the son of Barachel, the Buzite, of the kindred of Ram. Against Job was his wrath kindled, because he justified himself rather than God," saying he hadn't done anything wrong. Now, it might help. This is a nephew of Abraham out of that family, okay? And from Nahor, Abraham's brother. But what it really means, Elihu, is whose God is he? And that's kind of a strange title, you know, whose God is he? It's God of the universe. There's only one, okay? That should give you a clue coming out the gate here of what the boy's name. Verse 3. "Also against his three friends was his wrath kindled, because they had found no answer and yet had condemned Job." They judged him. That's a sin, you know. Not supposed to do that. "Now, Elihu had waited till Job had spoken, because they were elder than he." Verse 5, "When Elihu saw that there was no answer in the mouth of these three men, then his wrath was kindled." His old anger grew, this young fellow. 6, "And Elihu, the son of Barachel, the Buzite, answered and said, 'I am young, and you are very old. Wherefore, I was afraid and durst not show you mine opinion. I kept my mouth shut, listening to wisdom, supposedly. I said, days, or that is to say age, should speak, and multitude of years should teach wisdom." Gray hair should bring that. But verse 8, "But There is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. So he's kind of saying, I've been inspired here. Now, do you know what the question is for you? Is he or isn't he? You're going to have to do a little homework to determine that. We know Job is innocent. And they're all trying to find him guilty. They feel that Job is blaming God for everything. You know something? Job hadn't blamed God for anything. All Job has said is, God has turned the enemy loose on me. And he knew that. So great men, verse 9, did we get that? Great men are not always wise, neither do the aged understand judgment, which is true. 10, therefore I said, hearken to me, I also will show mine opinion. Behold, I waited for your words, I gave ear to your reasons, whilst you searched out what to say. I wanted to hear your conclusion. Yea, I attended unto you, I listened, and behold, there was none of you that convinced Job or that answered his word. You didn't come up with anything. You come up blank. Lest you should say, we have found out wisdom, God thrusteth him down, not man. Now, that's a lie. Are you familiar with it? Do you understand that? God didn't thrust Job down. God allowed Satan to have his way with him, but God didn't do it. Now, where is your inspiration of God gone here? It's there if you recognize it for his elect and his elect only, basically, the deeper truth. Verse 14, now he hath not directed his words against me, neither will I answer him with your speeches. Now, I'm going to set myself apart as kind of innocent in this whole thing. He's already messed up, but there he goes. They were amazed. They answered no more. They left off speaking, and they didn't say a word. When I had waited for, they spake not, but stood still and answered no more, I said, I will answer also my part. I also will show mine opinion. 18, for I am full of matter. He's full of something. Matter is words, okay? I'm just full of it. The spirit within me constraineth me. It just keeps me right here, pinned up. Behold, my belly is as wine. Which hath no vent. It is ready to burst like new bottles. I'm so full of wisdom and information here, I just want to let it spill out everywhere. What he's saying here, kind of, you all keep quiet because I know everything. Okay? I will speak that I may be refreshed. I will open my lips and answer. Let me not, I pray you, accept any man's person. I don't want to be partial to anyone. Neither let me give flattering titles unto men, for I know not to give flattering titles. In so doing, my Maker would soon take me away. I think he's about to anyway. Okay. So, you see, you want to analyze, look at facts. You want to base your belief upon facts, not fiction. When you base your belief on fiction, you're headed for a heap of hurt. Let's go into 33 just a little ways here. Let's hear what he says here. Wherefore, Job, I pray thee, hear my speeches, and hearken to all my words. Not just a few of them, I want you to hear it all. Behold, now I have opened my mouth, my tongue hath spoken in my mouth. My word shall be of the uprightness of my heart, and my lips shall utter knowledge clearly. I'm going to speak this out where you can hear it, even you'll be able to understand it. Okay. The Spirit of God, here we go again, inspired, hath made me. The breath of the Almighty hath given me life. Well, now, that's a true statement. If thou canst answer me, set thy words in order before me, stand up. You stand up for something. Behold, I am according to thy wish in God's stead. I also am formed out of the clay. I'm a man just like you are. Behold, my terror shall not make thee afraid, neither shall my hand be heavy upon thee. Taking a great deal upon himself. Surely thou hast spoken in mine hearing, and I have heard the voice of thy words, saying, I am clean without transgressions. I am innocent. Neither is there iniquity in me. And you know what? There wasn't in Job. This they couldn't believe. But there's one thing I want you to know. Who are they leaving out of the equation? Let's think about it a moment. Who are they leaving? They're either blaming Job or blaming God. They left Satan out of the equation. He's in here working overtime, playing with the minds of people and even yours today. If you'll let him, if you'll believe that every time it says inspired of God, it is. When it isn't, and you're not intelligent enough to see the difference because you missed the inspiration truly that the divine God gave you in chapter 1. He's already vouched for the fact that Job was innocent. Behold, he findeth occasion against me. He counteth me for his enemy. And he putteth my feet in stocks. He marketh all my paths. You know something? That's a lie too. Because Job didn't say that. I think it's in chapter 16. My memory may fail me, but I don't think it does. That you'll find all he said is God has allowed the enemy to do this. He didn't say God did it. Behold, in this thou art not just. He's judging Job. I will answer thee what God is great, that God is greater than man. Well, everybody knows that. Job certainly knew it. That's why he served God and why he was staying innocent. Why dost thou strive against him? He wasn't. For he giveth not account of any of his matters. For God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not. And this kid missed it all the way. Okay, he got some of it, but he's so short, it's pitiful. Okay, he's doing the same thing the other three did. They're leaving Satan out of the equation. They're blaming Job and feeling Job is blaming God. And Job never has. He has not blamed God. 15, in a dream and in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men and slumbering upon the bed, then he openeth the ears of men and sealeth their instructions. Well, I'd kind of hate to go by his. What kind? He must have been having a nightmare instead of a heavenly divine dream. That he may withdraw man from his purpose and hide pride from man, take care of the evil, in other words. He keepeth back his soul from the pit and his life from perishing by the sword. Skip on down to verse 27 with me. He looked upon men, and if any say, I have sinned and perverted that which was right, and it profiteth me not, 28, he will deliver his soul from going into the pit and his life shall see the light. Lo, all these things worketh God, oftentimes with man, to bring back his soul from the pit to be enlightened with the light of the living. In other words, if you'll listen to my words, you're going to find that light. How many times in your lifetime have you heard some man say, I bring you the light? And do you really see the bright light of Almighty God in the depths that he takes us of simple truth? Mark well, O Job, hearken unto me, hold thy peace, and I will speak. If thou hast anything to say, answer me. Speak, for I desire to justify thee. I want to save your soul. If not, hearken unto me, hold thy peace, and I shall teach thee wisdom. Whoopee-doo. I mean, we've got us a real winner right here, okay? And he's laying it on, and poor old Job hadn't done a thing. He's having to listen to this junk, okay? Sure, there are some true statements made. Do you know how many preachers I've heard preach sermons on those first 38 chapters of Job where thus saith this man and that man, and they were lying like dogs? And yet, preachers will say, it's right there in the Word. It's in the Word of God. Yeah, but God expects you to see a little bit, to know and understand that Job is one of His election. God is going to speak to Job here in a little bit. He's going to straighten his case out. But He'll also speak to these others. You won't be left wondering, well, is this true or is that known? God always inspires, okay? He gives the whole truth. But here we have this guy. He's on a roll, and he's taken over. He's got the audience, and he's laying it on. Turn on to the 37th chapter. Or let's do just a little bit of 36 real quickly. 36:1, Job. Elihu also proceeded and said, "Suffer me a little, and I will show thee that I have yet to speak on God's behalf." I'm getting around to it. "I will fetch my knowledge from afar, and will ascribe righteousness to my Maker. For truly my word shall not be false." He's already lied quite a bit. Okay. In false judgment, biggest sin you can do. We have one judge, that's our Father. "He that is perfect in knowledge is with thee. Behold, God is mightier and despiseth not any. He is mighty in strength and wisdom. He preserveth not the life of the wicked, but giveth right to the poor." This is true. You know, you throw in, do you understand, this is one of Satan's main tricks. Satan can quote more scripture than most Christians. When he tempted Christ in the wilderness, what did he tempt him with? Scripture. And I mean, he quoted it, bang, bang, bang. There's just one problem. He twisted it all right at the end, 90 degrees, which made a lie out of it. That's Satan's M.O. That's the way he operates. And a lot of people will say, "Amen to that, brother." Oh boy. And there you go. So, you know, I judge no one, but our Father gives truth. It is so simple that a child can understand it. That's the way Christ teaches. And yet people will try to justify man's doings, and they leave Satan out of the equation. Satan's not going to cause all of your trouble, and most people like to blame all their little quirks on Satan. You either go overboard or not, okay? You have to have a moderation in God's Word whereby everyone can understand. Chapter 37, a few verses here. And verse 37 reads, chapter 37 rather. Chapter 37, the book of Job, verse 1. "And this also, at this also my heart trembleth and is moved out of his place. Hear attentively the noise of his voice and the sound that goeth out of his mouth. He directeth it under the whole heaven, and his lightning unto the ends of the earth. After it a voice roareth. He thundereth with the voice of his excellency, and he will not stay them when his voice is heard." You know, that is true. Father speaks from heaven. He has many ways of speaking, if you know how to listen. "God thundereth marvelously with his voice. Great things doeth he, which we cannot comprehend." Well, that, and he finally told the truth. Okay. "For he saith to the snow, be thou on the earth, and likewise to the small rain and to the great rain of his strength. He sealeth up the hand of every man, that all men may know his work." Well, it's there if you break the seal and place it in your own mind, that is to say, the seal of the living God. Well, finally, there comes a time that God gets enough. Okay, he hears enough. And he steps in, and the true inspiration begins to flow. So, after all this has gone on, finally God, we've listened to three people and then a youngster, okay? Which there's nothing wrong with being young. Intelligence flows everywhere if you have the gift of God's Word. But now, all of a sudden, God has a word to say. Let's see in the 38th chapter what he has to say. 38, then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Why are you listening to this junk?" Okay. Do you know what the word counsel is? That means advisories. It means instructions. Who are you receiving all these instructions from that have no knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee an answer thou me. Now here's where Job is being assured and treated as one of God's elect. Many times God will move his election where he wishes them. And somebody may wake up and wonder, what am I doing here? Well, God has a purpose for the elect. He moves them where he wants them. Because they overcame in the first earth age. They stood against Satan then, and that's why it is written in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, I chose you before the foundations of this earth age, this eon of time. Well, how could he do that? The first earth age. Simple. Where wast thou? Let's first, what is it when you girt yourself up? Men wore skirts then. You took the belt and you run it down between your legs and pull that skirt up where your legs were free. You were ready to fight, do battle, okay? Run, do anything. Gird up, verse 4. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare, if thou hast understanding. Do you know how I have Mars, the moon, the sun, and the earth placed where they are and what they hang on? Whoa. Who hath laid the measure thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? Who measured it, and who has it in its perfect place? Well, God did, of course. Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? Naturally, that cornerstone later would be Christ. But not in the formation, that Spirit was there. When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. That's the first earth age. That's your clue to the understanding of the book of Job. Okay. Or who shut up the sea with doors when it broke forth as if it had issued out of the womb? When did that happen? That's a time element for the wise. It's when the firmament fell. Oh, well, pray tell me, when did the firmament fall? It fell when at the katabo in the Greek tongue, the noun, when Satan rebelled and God destroyed the first earth age rather than a third of his children to give them an opportunity to be born to woman to make their mind up whether they will love God or follow Satan. That's up to them. When I made the cloud the garment thereof, and thick darkness a swaddling band for it, and break up for it my decree place, and set bars and doors, and said, Hitherto shalt thou come, and but no further, and here shalt thou proud waves be stayed. I set the coastlines, the shore. I built it. I made it. Where were you when that happened? Well, Job kind of comes to it. Now, in chapter 40, God's going to go into the behemoth. And the behemoth, a lot of your so-called scripture lawyers will call it a hippopotamus. Okay, but the thing's got a tail like a cedar of Lebanon. Do you know how big a cedar of Lebanon is? Only a dinosaur has a tail like that. And it eats off the high ground, not out of the bottom of the river. Talking about the dinosaur. He's talking about the first earth age. And Job knew it. And then finally God works around to Leviathan, the old crocodile of the Nile, which is symbolic of Lucifer, Satan, the old dragon, the devil. And so he's the one that's doing this to you if you let him. Thank God we now, Christ gave us power and authority in Luke chapter 10, verse 18 and 19, over all of our enemies, including every evil spirit. We don't have to put up with that stuff anymore. God can pull that wall down, or he doesn't have to. He lets us put it back on our own. Because in Christ's name, we have victory over all our enemies, not part of them. That is inspired by God through the prophet Luke, the disciple Luke, the apostle Luke. Now, so we might wonder, well, aren't you adding a lot of this in? No, I'm not at all. I want to take you to as God would continue speaking, turn on to chapter 42 and let God surmise here what we've got when Job answers God. Okay, God continues to tell him about how things were placed in as they are, why we're here the way we are. Chapter 42, then Job answering the Lord said, verse 2, I know that thou canst do everything and that no thought can be without withholden from thee. I know that you know everything. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Question. Therefore have I uttered that I understood not things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. It was Satan through Elihu, okay, and Elihu. Here I beseech thee, and I will speak, and I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eyes see thee. It's divinely inspired. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes, that I would let that slip away, that I'm one of God's elect and I should have known you were there all the time. Regardless of what liberties were given Satan, you would not betray me. And it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends. For you have not spoken of me the thing that is right, as my servant Job hath. You're a bunch of hypocrites. 38 chapters of it. Verse 8. Therefore take unto you now 7 bullocks, 7 rams, and go to my servant Job, and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering. And my servant Job shall pray for you, for him will I accept. Lest I deal with you after your folly, in that you have not spoken of me the thing which is right, like my servant Job. You know, there comes a day that God takes care of would-be's. So Eliphaz the Temanite and Bildad and the Shuhite and Zophar the Naamathite went and did according as the Lord commanded them. The Lord also accepted Job. I guess they would. I guess they would go and do it. 10. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. That again is documentation of first fruits or God's elect, twice inheritance. Okay. If you had any doubts ever what God is trying to tell you, God takes care of the election, but he trusts you enough that he can move you wherever he wants you to bring to pass the things that are written. And he will never expect from you anything that he wouldn't do himself or ask you or anyone else to do. He trusts you. He loves you. He loved Job. And to seal this, naturally, he dressed these boys down good, but don't overlook something. How would you have felt if these three have been lambasting you for, I mean, days and days and days, that you're no good, you're lying, and you've gone wrong on every corner and you're trying to blame God, and it was false. And Job prayed for him. God had said, if Job will ask, I'll forgive you. And Job, after all that, that's a mark of one of God's elect. He prayed for them. And God forgave them. But at the same time he forgave them, he double blessed Job. How precious God is. Do you know how sure God was of this? We're going to take just a little more time. I want to go back to chapter 1 of the great book of Job. Chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 1, book of Job. Job means persecuted. I think I said probation before. He's persecuted, and boy, was he persecuted. But that's what his name means in the Hebrew tongue, and he was persecuted for God's sake. Verse 1, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. He revered. That Hebrew word is fear or revere, one or the other. And there was born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she asses, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. He was rich. There is no sin in being rich if it's God's blessings. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, listen carefully to this, and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them, his children. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. I mean, he had it together. Got it? Now, there was a day when the sons of God, that's the angelic beings, came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan, he was a cherubim, came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? And then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. He was there. He could do that then de facto. Now it's only his evil spirit, because Christ said, get behind me, and that's where he is. And that's where he will stay. But his evil spirit, the opposite of the Holy Spirit, can still touch you if you allow it. And the Lord said unto him, unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? This is a type of election, okay? Don't ever let that slip away from you. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Do you think there's not some reason he reveres you? Verse 10. Hast not thou made an hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. You want to know how to have yours increased? Well, listen to Job. Job was persecuted, but God loved him, and God takes care of business. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. God knew Job wouldn't do that. He trusted him that much. And quite frankly, God trusts all of his elect that much. He knows they will make a stand. He knows they will make a difference, because they love him. And they know, besides, he has given them power over ignorance. 12. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And there is the answer to the book of Job. It's to teach people that have the patience to understand that inspiration from God is easily documented. All you have to do is cover the whole subject. cover the object and all periods of time involved therein, and you'll see that God loves His children. He trusts them. And He knows He can count on them. Don't ever let Him down. Keep that old girt up tight and listen for the inspiration of God. That means input from God Himself. He speaks to people in many different ways in your lifetime, especially in God's elect. Always thank Him for that. Job, poor old Job, was an example for you today as one of God's elect. You know, we're living in some pretty salty times, but you're a lot saltier. Why? Because you're salted with the Word of God. And we know, as it is written in Mark 13, that the false one is coming as false Messiah. And unfortunately, most people think they're going to fly away like a big bird. That word's not even in the Bible. It's not inspired of God. And what will happen is, most children can count from 1 to 7. And God gives you each event through 7 trumps, 7 seals, and 7 vials. And finally, He even tells you that Satan comes on the 6th vial, 6th trump, 6th seal. That's 666. Christ the true doesn't return until 777. A child can understand that from the inspired Word of God, by letting the Word flow instead of being indoctrinated by traditions of men. So here, God has used this one as an example, a perfect example. He was blessed because of it, his hardships, double blessed, because he was one of God's elect. Let God know that you appreciate the inspired and inspiration of Almighty God as He touches your life. Heavenly Father, thank You, Father, for this word. Father, thank You for the letter that You have sent us, Father, explaining all things in the clarity that You would have us, even as children, to be able to understand. We thank You for that in advance, in Yeshua's precious name. Amen.
The mark of the beast.